Hello and welcome to This Week in Quality. Today is episode number 126. It is Friday, the 6th of March. For those of you lovely humans who are following along live in the chat, and for those of you who are listening along on the recorded podcast, thank you and welcome. Remember that this is a Ministry of Testing event and the code of conduct is in place. And remember to be kind if you are coming up on stage and joining in the conversation. Today, I have the lovely Rosie Sherry joining me. And before we jump into your weeks in quality and get you to join us on stage, I'm going to have a little bit of a chat about the topic of the week, which is all about professional membership and some of the recent changes. Rosie, do you want to introduce the audience to yourself and to, to the changes that we want to have a chat about?
Hello, hello. It's good to be back. It's been a while since I've done the last Twick, so hello and welcome and happy Friday. We were just doing a quick check before we went live, checking the dates and the episode number, and it is Friday, and it's definitely good to be here. And yeah, good to be co-hosting with Ben. But yeah, this week in testing or quality, sorry, it's been that long since I've done this. This week in quality, I guess the topic of the week for us is, at least in the Motiverse, is some changes to membership that we've been doing. So I thought it might be nice to kind of discuss ideas around that and why we're making changes, reasons for changes. I like to look at the positive sides of things, but overall, my vibe is like I'm so excited for the future and what we're building. But with that comes change and necessary change and ways to figure out how to deal with change and how to manage it as the community grows. And yeah, new territory, I guess. And yeah, lots of questions. Happy to answer them and go into them as well. But yeah, Ben, where do you think we should start?
Absolutely. So perhaps before we get into any of the background or the why or anything else, perhaps we could just outline the very simple mechanics of what has changed. Like just the facts, these things are now, like a summary of these things are now pro only, some things remain in the free tier. And then we can maybe have a little bit of chat about the background, about why the change is needed.
Yeah, so I guess the best place to get a quick overview, there's a couple of places. One is a news piece that I wrote, but the other one is the membership page. And I guess for a bit of context, like the past 18 months, we've been doubling down on the Motiverse and being more platform-like, and we've just been like shipping, feature, one thing after another. And it's been great to continue to do that. But then like the more we ship, the more we realize that we have to be careful with what we do. And we're not just a forum anymore. This is more of a platform and one that comes with responsibility. But yeah, I guess if you compare it to, a couple of years ago when we weren't doing any of this, there's still equal, if not more, amount of things that are open to people. So on the basic free account, for example, at the moment we have listed MOT profile, which is your basic profile, and every time you contribute something or get tagged in something, then that appears on your profile and it becomes like a log, a CV, something you can refer back to over time. And then there's the club, which has been there for many, many years, that's still going, still maintaining that, supporting that. And then there's a chapter events, previously known as meetups, which is newer. At least in the platform, it's newer. We're, building that into the platform so that we can better support it. And to be honest, it's pretty exciting to see this starting to come together. We've been talking about it for years, and to finally have it integrated into the platform is pretty cool. And that's free for the chapters that are organized by the community. And then there's also mark yourself as open to. So the idea behind this is that anyone can mark themselves as open to work, open to speak, open to teach, open to write. There's many options there. And then that actual list then becomes available to pro subscribers. So it could be an employer looking to hire quality people, and then they can check out that list as an easy reference point, for example. Or as another example we had the other day, someone who works in a company and they're looking for internal speakers for like a community of practice, or it could be for another conference as well. But then there's this like list of people for people to dip into and explore, rather than just putting out, I guess, often people put out like social posts saying, I'm looking for a speaker. And it's rather random who stumbles upon it. And having a database of lists, I think, is a very efficient and useful to have available. And then the other aspect, I guess, goes on to the pro part. And the general thinking about the pro part is that because we're now a platform, and that actually comes with legal responsibilities as well. And as we get more popular as well, abuse starts coming in, and that's what we've been experiencing. And so we have to be careful with what we can allow to be built for free, because it gets abused. And that's the reality of the world that we live in. And I think at the moment it's been pretty light with what we've been experiencing from my previous experience. When I was at Indie Hackers for a couple of years, the amount of spam they got was just like astonishing, to be honest. And they'd never built anything properly to deal with it. And I ended up removing a lot manually. So, you know, that there are risks with that, but also increasingly the legal requirements to ensure that we don't expose people to certain things on the internet that people could easily be exposed to. So with that in mind, and you know, it was actually quite funny, because we've had quite a few spam MOT profiles, which we delete as they come in. We literally have been reviewing profiles when they get updated. So we get notifications when people update their profiles. And when there's a spam profile, we just delete it. But no one's really seen that, because it's not quite behind the scenes, but people don't really see it happening. But just as we were about to go live with these changes, we started getting memory spam. And it was quite ironic or amazing, or like a wow moment. It was like, we're about to switch on these changes, and just as we're doing that, we're getting spammed. And it was more than one. So I literally think we were and are starting to be targeted for these kind of things. So, you know, that's one of the big drivers to do that. But also another part is like, actually the fact that like with memories, we didn't allow people to add links, for example, or formatting. And I wasn't really happy with that, because I wanted like WYSIWYG type functionality to allow people to structure posts better. And we did have some feedback that people would like that as well. But the reason we didn't implement that is literally because of spam or bad actors, right? So we're almost like in shitifying the product just to support bad, you know, the behavior of bad actors, right? So all of that kind of stuff really started shifting our thinking. Is like, what do we want the Motiverse to be? How do we want to operate? How can we operate on a super tiny team that's, you know, doing conferences, building a platform, publishing content, creating courses, creating certs? It's like, what's actually achievable and reasonable, and honestly, what brings us joy? And like, moderating stuff out does not bring us joy as a team, but maintaining high quality does. And yeah, as a result, it's like, basically to post anything at the moment, we've decided that you need a pro account, because that not only provides a protection layer, it also provides a layer of care, a layer of quality. And when we're a small team at the moment, our focus is literally on filling up your profile. So we kind of refer to FYUP just as an acronym, but like, that's one of our biggest goals, is fill up your profile. We want people to fill up your profiles. That could be with memories, it could be with satellite links, it could be with call for insights, it could be with Into the Motiverse podcast recording. So many options to fill out your profile. Moments. Sorry, Deanna. Moments. And yeah, Moments. We just rebranded Memories to Moments. And we also added WYSIWYG features to it. So now on Moments, you can format it nicely. And so I'm hoping that will encourage people to perhaps write or share more things within Moments. So yeah, and I understand it feels different. It feels like some of the things we shouldn't be doing, but actually in reality, there's a lot of community debt that we have to handle, and we're trying to build as much of that into the product as we can so that it's actually, I guess, maintainable by us as a team as well. Yeah. And a lot, you know, part of that is a lot of it is systems, processes, thinking about how to improve the systems. But literally, it's like we want to work with people, we want to work and elevate them as much as possible as community, as a service, as we, you know, mm-hmm. we are here to serve people. We are here to help people get their voice out. And we think we're doing that better than ever, but changes are required, I think. And the world is changing. And yeah, got one life. I decided a while back that I'm going to build something that I think will be amazing, but we'll see. You know, I'm excited for it personally.
Absolutely. And I think, Rosie, one thing I think for those of us who aren't right in the inner circle, for those who may be looking out as on the edges of the Motiverse looking in, I think people would be genuinely surprised to realize just how small the team is that you're working with. And I guess just how slim the margins are. I mean, I'm not going to go into numbers. I don't know all the numbers, but how slim I imagine the margins are in terms of actually supporting the work that you do, and how that is something that's hard to actually put into context in terms of, do you know what? You don't have to be ashamed for the fact that for all this great work you're doing, that needs supporting, right? And, you know, we're not talking about mega books here. We're talking about survival and growing and investing in the Motiverse and the platform. And I think that's, you know, what are we here to do and to grow the Motiverse? It needs, let's be fair, it needs funding, right? Like, that's actually important. I think that's an okay thing to be saying, do you know what? This actually needs funding to be able to grow, to be able to survive. That's fair.
Yeah. And honestly, like, value for money, value per buck, value per pound, however you want to say it, I think it's honestly incredible value. It's cheaper than ever, you know, and a lot of that is down to streamlining everything we do. And I do think, like, the old way of doing things is not the way that's going to be sustainable for most people. Obviously, it's always possible, but it's not a model that, you know, we're interested in. But and I feel like we have to change, and actually I'm excited to change, and I'm excited to apply the community thinking and ideas that I've thought about for a long time, or that we're discovering along the way, and we're seeing like data points come up that are like, oh, this is interesting, we can play with this a bit. And And, you know, I honestly think the toughest part is, like, there's so much going on that it's really difficult to explain it. So, like, people will react at the fact that you have to be a pro member now to submit an article, or that you have to be a pro member to submit for call for papers. But the reality is, like, why aren't you a pro member if you're submitting an article? We're trying to support you as a person. We're trying to elevate your career. Anything you publish with us will appear at the top of search results for your name pretty much always. But then that there's other aspects that, you know, I don't expect people to understand, but there's things like, well, if you're not a pro member, then you're not in the Slack. And then that creates friction, and that makes it harder for us to work with writers. And we're like, oh, all of a sudden we have to add this person in to the Slack, even though they're not a pro member when they should. Or we don't add them in and we just collaborate through email, but none of us wants to work or collaborate through email anymore, right? Slack is like that thing that we use to collaborate with people, right?
You just said that dirty word, email. Oh,
it's terrible, right?
That's bad. That is bad.
Yeah. So it's all these little things, you know, and it's like, yes, we could add monthly subscriptions, but technically we could, but we don't because it adds another layer of complexity. So everything we are doing is trying to keep things as simple as possible and Absolutely. Enabling us to basically get shit done and focus on action. But yeah, I understand that some of the decisions might sound crazy. And like when we were first talking about them internally, we were like, oh, can we do it? Is that the right thing to do? But like the more we spoke about it and the more we kind of envisioned like how it would work for us internally, like managing all the proposals coming in, the more it actually made sense, because it's things like, you know, ever since we started doing like MOT profiles, every time someone submits now, the first thing we do is check out their MOT profile to see if they've contributed anything. So, you know, that becomes, it's not an interview process, but that becomes our first reference point of whether we accept people. And it's not meant to be like, oh, you know, making it difficult for anyone. But it's like previously trying to dig up that data pre having those profiles, it used to take us ages. It's like, who is this person? Got to check out their LinkedIn profile, got to do a Google search. These days you might use ChatGPT or Gemini to, you know, see who this person is. But actually, like now going forward, like our focus is actually, no, we're going to check out the MOT profiles and not purely make decisions on that, but it's what matters. And for Moticon, I imagine for future years, I want everybody at Moticon pretty much to be people who are contributing. Not to be cliquey, but I just think that would make an amazing experience that we're investing in the people and they see that there's a pathway to speaking at Moticon and that their contributions matter. Every contribution matters. And that to me starts to feel special as well. So yeah, I guess like lots of changes, but I ask people to trust us because we do make these decisions with care.
Yeah.
And we are honestly trying to build something special. And I think it'll be amazing. If we can do it, I think it'll be amazing. But it's hard. It honestly is hard to do all the things to do, but we do it with so much love. It's pretty cool. I feel honored.
Absolutely. And let's see how much we can win. Speaking of love and contributions, we love our chat and we love people to get involved. So Rosie, what do you say? I have a little bit of a look through the chat and see if we can call out some of the cool things that are already being said and perhaps invite a few people to come on stage. And you can either come and ask Rosie a little bit more about the changes, have a little bit of a chat maybe about what you get from the Motiverse or what you're putting into the Motiverse, or just come and tell us about your week in testing. We're always happy to pivot if you have new topics. So, oh, how do we change to the other thing? Hey, I think I did it. So if you want to join the stage queue, there is a button somewhere I'm waving my arms about, but I realize that I'm not on video, which reminds me that this is a audio only event. So when you do join, you do not need to come on camera. In fact, we prefer that you would not. Some instructions are on the screen. Let me have a quick read through the chat, if that's all right. So we've had a really nice chat back and forth when we were calling out that, obviously, I think people would be surprised by the number of actual members of staff at the Ministry of Testing, not counting, of course, the ambassadors and the wonderful Motiverse, which includes all of you fine people out there, which is of course a number that is much, much higher. And there's a whole load of guesses. Judy was guessing 5. Sean was of course guessing the square root of -1, which I guess is quite a geeky reference. Love it. Gary said 8, getting very close. And then Diana said no, it's 7. So yeah, I think 7. Had I not already been on the inside and had a pretty good idea, I would be surprised that it was as few as 7 with the amount of value that you're able to get and the amount of speed of getting out new features. It is quite an impressive feat.
I'm going to be incredibly cheesy and say it's 6 or 7. because Sarah Dury has just gone on maternity leave and Deanna came back recently. So it's like, is it six or is it seven? So six, seven.
Sorry. Absolutely. Well, I mean, But how very, yeah. So Rosie, you must have kids.
No.
We've got some other different things here. We've got some chat about people wishing the... I know you touched upon it earlier, but people saying that they wish the call for contributions was free. But I think it's a really interesting thing, right? That, how do I put this politely? I've been involved in reviewing submissions for conferences, right? And not just previous years of Moticon, of Tasbash, but for other conferences as well. And for anyone who hasn't been involved in reviewing things, you would be genuinely surprised. I know we spoke about spam earlier, but you'd be genuinely surprised the sheer volume of how many of these things are from like DevRel or CTOs or CEOs that are only trying to push their product, and they're not genuine contributions at all. They are junk. And it is really hard and a lot of effort to filter that stuff out. And I know that might not be the major factor for you having changed continuous contributions or to be pushing for that to be pro in the future. But God, that is hard. Like, I just as a volunteer helping to review that stuff. And I think that by having it for pro members, you actually get twofold. So one, you get people who are already engaged, they mean it, they're already involved, they have skin in the game, right? They're not here to get something else out of it, they're here to get to genuinely contribute and to get out of it their own learning. But also, because they're already members, maybe you can take more of a chance and you can say, oh, we liked that idea, but you didn't really give us much detail. Perhaps we can offer you some of our time as a paid member. Let's work with you on this idea. Let's develop it together. So rather than just be able to say yes or no, you can go, oh, well, maybe it doesn't quite hit like this, but there's a nugget there. Perhaps we can give you some support to actually, you know, contribute in other ways or to build it. That's really hard when things are free and anonymous and you've got so many different things out there.
Yeah.
So I don't know how much that actually contributed to the change, but that's my own take on it.
Yeah. I would definitely think it's partly contributed to it, and we have changed how we do call for contributions as well, and even how we review them. So like one of the things that I now believe in is that having multiple people, even though they're experts and, you know, this is not a reflection that we don't appreciate other people reviewing abstracts. It's like, it just didn't feel like a very good way to be accepting proposals. And one of the conclusions I kind of came to myself is that Team MOT, we have our head in the community literally every single day. We're speaking to people, we're supporting people, we're building relationships. We see things that other people don't see, and we understand that, right? So as a consequence, because we've got access not only to the community and like the data behind it all, we just see things that other people don't see, not because they're not capable of seeing, but because you've all got day jobs pretty much, mm-hmm. right? Doing your own thing, right? So it shouldn't be put on others to understand the whole community ecosystem. That's almost like, it's almost like our role is like to figure that out so we can offer that service better to the community. And as a result, I just don't think an average person is best placed to make decisions about who is the best speaker, because they don't have all the data points, right? Whereas we do. So for last year, for Moticon, I think it was like probably me and Simon and, you know, doing the initial filtering of who to accept. And then we would pass that by other people in the team. And then, like, I think the final list was kind of like pre-released to the ambassadors. But to me, that feels right and that feels efficient, because, well, I'll do similar this year. It'll probably mostly be myself, to be honest, going through the whole list. Mm-hmm. And I think naturally, the people that we end up choosing are the people who are pro members, because we've been collaborating with them and because we know their work and because we know their passion and because we know their, you know, what they've contributed, or because they might have not had an opportunity, so they deserve one. And maybe someone's already spoken twice, so we'll pass on them, but we might offer them another opportunity. You say, mm-hmm. Well, you know, you've done Motocon twice now, we need to leave space for others, but why not come on into the Motiverse, right? Or why not come do a call for insights, or why not come and do a masterclass? There's other avenues that we're better able to do from that perspective, and we can make those decisions quickly and mm-hmm. hopefully efficiently, whereas other people aren't able to do so.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think it's really interesting because there are many aspects to it. And as someone who has done a workshop and spoken at Motocon, woo, I've seen and also attended and volunteered and received that value, I can tell you that there is great value, like personal value, in being the one on stage and being the one running the workshop, and the amount that you have to put in to really learn your topic in order to be there on the stage, even after you, like after you've committed, and the amount that you get out of it in terms of that personal growth is not a small thing, right? Like, it's that you get both sides of it. You get the value that you have for those people who are attending, and you get the value for those people who are contributing. And I think that's very significant. So there's some chat that some comments in the chat. So Nadia says, I can get behind that, but I feel that it's excluding great speakers who are not pro. So I don't know if you have anything on that point about excluding great speakers who are not pro.
Yeah, a couple. I mean, we have invited some speakers in that don't meet that criteria, and that's okay. But, you know, also boundaries are not bad, I think. And I get it feels weird. But is it excluding? Are they excluding us by not joining? It's debatable, right? And I think this is really interesting and kind of scary that we're trying it. But honestly, I don't think we are excluding. I, you know, there's a flip side of like, why are they excluding us? And there's this ongoing debate of like, oh, it's a community, it's a paid community, and there's almost this barrier for people to join paid communities. But there's not a barrier to as much to pay for conferences, right? And we're all of that. Right, in one membership fee. So it's like we're doing things differently is all I can say, but we're doing things with care, and boundaries are healthy. Boundaries help us operate efficiently, mm-hmm. and it is not exclusion. And I would say we are the most inclusive community out there. I think we always have been, and I do think we continue to lead the way, and others often follow us or copy us. And that's pretty cool, in my opinion. And I honestly don't say that with arrogance, but it's like, for me, there's no other way of doing this, because we need support, right? It's like, people don't see it from our perspective of the amount of work it causes us to do things in a way that's expected. And that, to me, I think that way is kind of dying out. And honestly, there's so many good people in the community that are joining, and they want to contribute and they want to have a voice. And we're here to support that. And yeah, there's a scholarship fund. It's there. It always has been there, or it has been for quite a while now. So there's always options to get involved. And I would encourage people to see this as a positive and to trust that we have the best intentions at heart. And to see that we're building something that's not out there, and we're trying different things, and we're trying to be brave, mm-hmm. trying to be audacious, trying to be different, to take on LinkedIn, trying to take on Instagram in a way, trying to take on, you know, not necessarily take them on, but adopt ideas so that we can build something better.
Absolutely. And
that's all we want to do. That is literally all we want to do. Is we're so excited about it, and we can see things that we can't always explain well, but we can, like, when we're working internally at MOT, we're like, does this pass the R test? It's like, does that feel good? Does that make us feel good as a team? And it's so, so important for us to feel, to be able to feel uplifted, to be able to feel good about our work and not dragged down. Mm-hmm. And community often is so easy to get dragged down. Like, and it's so easy for the community to think they know best. And sometimes they don't. And I'm not saying we do, but it's like there's so much information behind the scenes that they're not aware of.
Yeah, yeah.
But we have to make these decisions. And I hope that people will see that it's amazing. It's beautiful. Like, I've been using the word beautiful recently. Mm-hmm. And I haven't been able to use that in the past. And like in the past 6 to 12 months, I keep looking at MOT and I'm like, this is beautiful. This is all the stuff. It's so amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing.
I think a lot of people in listening to us, working in the software quality and software development and the wider industry, will really be able to relate to the fact that it's like, you know things, but telling the story is hard and communicating is hard, because even when you think you're telling the right story, it isn't necessarily hitting with all of your audience in the way that you hope it will. So I guess conversations like this are part of what go towards trying to have that conversation in a different way, so we can get that story across, we can engage and join you all in with that conversation. And I just want to, before I get into response to that, actually I'd love to call out some things for the chat, because we've got really cool people like AD Stokes saying things like ROI, so it's return on investment for pro membership, is ridiculously high. And thank you, AD, you are part of that as a serial contributor. He says, compare it to courses or conference prices. They last a short time. MOT gives you learning all year, 24/7. I've never understood that people don't understand the value investing in your own career. Love that. Thank you very much, AD. And Judy posts, I've spent more for a gym membership and I've gotten more value from MOT. Love that. Everyone's saying, woo, put that on a billboard. Very different purposes. I'm not suggesting that MOT replaces your gym membership. Those two things are not equivalent. But hey, go for a run and then use your gym membership money on MOT. Why not? Do it.
There's a chapter, I think it's Vancouver maybe, they do regular walks as their chapter events. I don't think they've done one super recently, but I always love seeing that. So maybe Maybe we do include gym. Now, exercise.
Absolutely. I think at some of the previous Moticons, there's been maybe last year and maybe even the year before, I think there was some like running club where people were running before the event.
That definitely happened. Yeah. And it definitely happened pre-COVID as well, pre-test bash runs and stuff.
Nice. I did not join in with that. I was eating my breakfast. But I love that it was there. It's like, what is that? Love that for you. Helene says, one of my previous jobs used to offer cheaper rates for people in low-income countries. Might be an option to make MOT even more inclusive for people who might otherwise not be able to afford pro membership. So this is one thing I've been thinking about. It's interesting in terms of target audience that obviously... I know one thing that game developers do is offer effectively different prices depending on the purchasing power of the currency locally. But I know this is a challenge when you're saying already you're trying to reduce the total number of options to try and make things simpler. And also that pro membership price, which I think has been the same for quite a long time now, includes a lot, right? So I don't know. Maybe you can say something more official as a response to that one.
Yeah, we put the price up because it includes the conferences now, when we changed it to the bundling. So it's £349 or $499. But upon request, we do give discounts. We just don't have a button for it yet. And it's, you know, one of those things that I'd like to do, but just haven't quite gotten around to it. But people do reach out and ask for discounts, and we give them by invoice. So there's always options when you ask and reach out as well. You know, I'd encourage you to. We made the scholarship fund for unemployed people only. And again, part of that was like, obviously the market has changed and lots of people out of work, but it just made the decision process easier as well. Like, because sometimes people would apply and they'd be in jobs and we were like, does this feel right that they're getting the scholarship when they're in a role? And sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't, but it's like, it just made it really hard for us to make a decision, right? Absolutely. So we thought, if you're unemployed, you know, just apply for the fund. There is a fund there, and we do generally make decisions pretty quickly if we can see that you are genuinely unemployed. And again, I think that's something that we've led with for years. We've done that, right? For years we've had a scholarship fund before other people were really doing it. So it's like we do care, we do invest, and we'll keep doing that and keep finding even better ways to keep doing that.
And I think that's one thing you were speaking about earlier in terms of that being inclusive, and it's not really about excluding people because you have those options to help access, right? Like that's what we really mean is that there are these options that if you're actually engaged and you're actually really want this, but the barrier is genuinely money, then whether it's a discount or if you're out of work and it's applying for the fund, I would say that I would genuinely say this, that I think that some people who are not pro and would want to be pro, it's because of the money. I think there's definitely some, but I don't think it's going to be all people, right? Like that decision, pro, not pro for MOT, and the same with other purchasing decisions. Some of it's going to be about the money. And I think in economy today, probably more people than ever before, but there's also that, a level of have they figured out, like I think what Adrian was saying earlier, right? Have they figured out what the value actually is? Like, do they actually understand what they're going to get out of it? And I think once they realize that value and they realize how much they actually get for their dollar, then maybe it makes it more of a good conversation. I'd also love to think that a lot of people are getting help from their employers when they are in work to subscribe. And I know that you very much encourage the group memberships and the paid for memberships from a work point of view. So I don't know about you, but I know lots of people who technically have a training budget at work, but it doesn't get used because people aren't making the business case for it. So get that business case in, check if your employer actually has money for this, or maybe they'll pay half, maybe they won't even cover it, but they might contribute and that might help you out as well.
Yeah, and we have quite a few like well-known and bigger companies, and they have to go through processes to get sign off for budget. One of the challenges we had recently, which I'm almost proud of, but obviously it creates difficulties, is that they came back to us. They were like, "Yeah, we're having trouble getting sign off because we're not sure if you're a community or education focused, and that's causing like confusion internally." And that's the challenge we have, is like, what are we? And it's like, we are literally so many things within one thing. And to me, that's beautiful. But at the same time, it's like, oh, we have to accommodate these situations. How do we accommodate that? And, you know, I guess my ask would be to everyone else is like, we can be flexible internally. We can like, you know, create documents, you know, using the words that you need to use for your own internal processes. Mm-hmm. If you need us to say we're education focused, then we can put something together for that to help with your situation. Yeah. But yeah, for me, it's interesting, I guess. Like, but
it's almost like we need different pages that are the pages to sign up that sell the membership to the Motiverse as different things. That are these sources of truth that are all true and honest, but they all go to the same membership, right? Like it's the same thing. So it's almost like you need to sell it as three or four different products. And maybe even for invoices, you could put down a different word if you want to, but ultimately it's exactly the same price. It's the same product, it's the same access to everything. But it's like, well, the Motiverse is what you need it to be. So literally the Motiverse can be what you need it to be. Like,
that's true.
We've got some great chat, so I want to call out a few things. Let's have a look what we've got.
Also, I'm conscious of the time, so if anyone wants to come up on stage, please stick your hand up and happy to chat.
Yes, yes. If anyone's joining in the chat and wants to join on stage, or if you just want to move the conversation along, you're very welcome. So Jesse says, I've both benefited from the scholarship fund and supported it. Yes, Jesse. That's awesome. That's community right there. Gary says, I've a few times tried to explain what I consider to be the soft benefits on Slack, blogs, etc., and maybe struggled to hit the mark. Bottom line is I've become a better person, manager, and tester as a result. I'm going to use your word, Rosie. That's beautiful, Gary. Judy says, I think it's unfortunate that as a culture, we're used to everything being free online. It's only good if it's free. We're used to ads and trolls and everything that taints our experience. Yeah, and I was thinking about this earlier when we were talking about it, when you were talking about things like competing against the social media companies. Remember, if you're not paying, you are the product. And in Ministry of Testing, I think it's exactly the opposite, which is we need you to pay because you are the community.
Yeah.
You are the product as the community, but that's because we want you to be contributing. So it's not that you're the product because you are the outcome. It's you are the product because you are engaged and contributing. And like, that's literally the point. It's not a bad thing. Let's see what else we've got. We're used to paying for things like Netflix and Spotify as a service that don't give back at all. They just use our data as they do. Yeah, okay. I mean, I'm not here to bash services are fine if you want them, but fair. Let's see, here we go. Richard Adams says, my old work paid for my membership the first couple of years, and they definitely got value from the learnings with my team. Yeah, that's brilliant, Rich. That's very, very cool. And I've definitely had membership paid for before by employers. It's totally a thing. Maybe we should share more about the business cases that succeed. If you have a business case that succeeds, Gary, share it. Absolutely. If anyone else listening does, we'll have it gladly. Jesse's saying, yep, my work paid for me to attend the conferences, but after the first conference, I paid for my membership because I felt it was investment in my own development. Very cool, Jesse. Very cool. We appreciate you. Sean says, a lot of chatter around marketing and promotions and people struggling to sell MOT to their employer. It's a unified marketing promotion strategy. Or is there a unified marketing promotion strategy? I just came off a committee meeting and we spent 2 hours discussing this for our group. It's a hot topic. Interesting, Sean. So you were saying earlier, Rosie, about the help that we can provide to people to help sell Motiverse into their company to get that. Is there somewhere we can direct people to access that kind of information?
There's a few bits. I've created like a guide to the Motiverse as a collection, as a way of trying to gather useful bits. There's a moment there that helps you pitch your membership. It probably needs updating now, to be honest, with all the changes, mm-hmm. which is part of the challenge. I do think sometimes just like participating, like so like the other week someone was looking for a recommendation for a speaker on AI, and they asked if I could recommend someone. So I picked out one person from the Motiverse, and they had a great profile. I was like, here you go. And that's kind of like proof in the pudding. It's like the profile mm-hmm. looked amazing. There were great contributions there. Why would they not be invited based on that data there, right? So I guess I would go back to like filling up your profile, making yourself look awesome, but also making others look awesome as well. And we can all do that together. Like when we talk about unified, it's like that's what the Motiverse is. It's unified. It's like we can tag each other in moments to help build up our profiles. We had our photographer, Ollie, who now edits his Twix as well. He was at MOT London, and he's been posting some of the photos today mm-hmm. from MOT London. Some great pics there. It's like, and you know, again, that makes people look good and feel good about themselves.
Nice.
Creates visibility for the people and as a community. So, you know, a lot of people ask, say, oh, I need a document to present to my employer. But sometimes I question whether people actually read that stuff and whether awesome profile page would be what convinces people at the end of the day. It's like, wow, you've done all that. And we get this time and time again. We, you know, we've had it with you, Ben. We've had it with Eamon, as for example, where Eamon's probably been in the community for like a year actively, and we can't believe how much he's done. And you can see that on his profile. And it's like the profile speaks for itself, right? And that's our goal, I guess. So it's like, if we were to unify, let's unify over profiles. Let's tag each other, help each other, lift each other up, talk about ideas that people share that person might think is a stupid idea, but it meant something meaningful to yourself, and share it and tag them in, and that appears on their profile, right? So it's like all these little things that we could do, and like moments are open, right? So it's, you know, I think this is another aspect of the community. It's not like people call it a closed paid community, but it's not closed. Like part of it is open, and like the moments that you put out are public. So it's like, it's this real like mixture of, we're not paid, we're not closed, we're not open, we're not, you know, all of the stuff. We're a mix of everything, but it's all designed as best as we can to be sustainable, but also to benefit the people. So yeah, to me it's exciting. I'm like, oh, this is amazing. And this is, you know, what communities I think should start to look like, and no one's really doing it. They're so used to showing up on social and scrolling and not realizing that actually doesn't benefit them that much.
I love what you're saying, Rosie, although I must admit I've forgotten what the question was.
Likewise.
let's see, if we've only got a couple minutes left, let's see what we've got coming up in the chat. Gary says, is a multiverse legend already? Yeah, too true, Gary, too true. And Judy says, Rosie, what makes you excited about the future of Ministry of Testing?
Honestly, I mentioned this in an ambassador's call, but I think we can lead the world of tech, and that's what excites me. Mm-hmm. It's a bit out there. But as testers, we come from a background of being ignored or not being paid attention to. But now with a shift to quality, quality is everywhere. Quality is care. Programmers are worried, you know, about their roles. Everyone's worried about their roles, to be honest. But I think the Motiverse could be a place that leads the tech community with quality and with care. And we're shifting to that. We have been for a while. We've slowly been removing the word Ministry of Testing everywhere. You might have noticed. But eventually, Ministry of Testing will be gone and we will be the Motiverse. And people will ask, what is the Motiverse? And we will say it's a quality tech community. We care about tech. And we want to lead the way with important discussions and work that needs to happen around tech that will bring in developers, will bring in designers, will bring in product people, because we care. And I think we can do that as a community. So that's, you know, is it possible? Yes, it's possible. Will it happen? I don't know. But the more I think about it, the more I think it is a possibility. And in my head, that's what I'm personally working to. And it feels crazy. It feels absolutely nuts that like 2-3 years ago, or even at the beginning of my career, would I ever be thinking like this? Like a tech community leading potentially programmers and engineering managers, you know, I'll be like, no way, that would never happen. But I see it. And that's, you know, I want others to join in the journey. I think we can do it. But yeah, I'm giving it my best shot. And it's so much fun. Honestly, it's so much fun.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Sam says, I think as testers, we got fingers in all the pies. I love the snack reference, by the way, Sam. Our role is not just to lead the testers. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, let's go. Couldn't agree more. Lots of applause. Love it. Love it. I think you've got some good support from the Twix audience on moving forward with a quality community that has all these different aspects and include all these different people in different roles. I think it's really awesome, the different test bashes and Moticons I've been to, the amount of different people there in different roles, but also just generally anyone who I've ever met who has come to a Moticon, who has come to a test bash, that tester is not their main role, and they've been to other tech conferences, they've been to other tech communities, they are always overwhelmed by the difference about how much the conferences hit differently, how much the community hits differently in terms of our collective support for each other and promotion of each other and the positivity. Not to knock down the other communities, there are some brilliant tech communities out there that do great work, but they do it differently, right? Like, it doesn't feel the same. It doesn't have the same kind of inclusivity. They maybe have great technical leadership, or you can still do a lot of learning. There's some, like I say, great stuff out there. But it's really great to get that feedback from people who are coming into the Motiverse and going, oh, this is different. And that's cool. So yeah, let's go.
Let's go.
And with only 2 minutes left, we are nearly about to go. So do we have anything else that we'd like to leave the audience with? Anything else that's going on in the next week or so? Anything that's coming up?
Oh, good question. I want to give a shout out and a thank you to the people that support us along the way, specifically people like AD, who does amazing work as a freelancer, also as a community member, and you know, they're the people that help make it all happen. So thank you, AD. Thank you to our motographer as well for playing along, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, event-wise, there's Agentic Quality Engineering. Ooh. With Dragan Spirini. I can't say his. I apologize. Spiridonov. That's in a couple of weeks' time, 12 days' time. So that's coming up. And yeah, there's a few chapters as well. So do check out the chapters. Do join a chapter. And again, if you're a pro member and you want to start a chapter, reach out to Deanna, and we'd love to have more chapters happening. Again, going forward, you have to be a pro member to start a chapter, but we're obviously being flexible with people who weren't pro members and have been organizing chapters previously. It's all a transition. There's lots of moving pieces, but yeah, it's pretty good and exciting. And
absolutely,
you know, let's keep going.
Yeah, it's been very, very cool to see the rise of the return of the Ministry of Testing London. Mott London has really come on strength to strength since coming back, which has been very cool.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll keep going. And yeah, also maybe a request is we're looking for companies who want to help us host events anywhere in the world. So if your company has space, and is willing to cover things like food, we'd love to chat. But yeah, collaboration is a big part of what we're doing going forward.
Nice. Yeah, no, I must admit, while in theory I'd be very happy to host a Ministry of Testing event, it would have to be in my kitchen and there wouldn't be able to be many people signing up. But this is the problem of a pretty much fully remote working setup. But yeah, good call out there for anyone who's still got an office and is willing to share. Right. Well, thank you all very much for joining us in This Week in Testing. I have been your co-host, Ben Doan, and you have been listening to the wonderful Rosie Sherry. Enjoy your week and keep testing.
Thank you very much.